Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome to my channel. In this video I'm going to explain what the European Court of Human Rights is, because there's been much talk about it in this general election campaign in the United Kingdom, with Reform United Kingdom saying that the UK ought to leave straight away, no more have a judge on the European Court of Human Rights, and therefore no longer have the European Convention of Human Rights as part of domestic British law. The Conservative and Unionist Party is still theoretically committed to deporting illegal immigrants who've claimed asylum to Rwanda, where their claims can be processed. And if they're granted asylum, it'll be in Rwanda and never ever in the United Kingdom. But because of claims arising from the European Convention of Human Rights, their challenges, which could go all the way to the European Court of Human Rights, which might make that impossible. And so the Conservative Party saying that if re-elected, if necessary, it would withdraw from the European Convention of Human Rights, no longer have a judge on the European Court of Human Rights, and therefore no longer have that as the Court of Cassation for some of these issues. Right. It all goes back to the European Convention of Human Rights, which was finalized in 1950. It was because of the horrors of the Second World War. People say we don't want to these terrible things to happen again. So lots of European countries, part of the Council of Europe, sign up to this. Now, the Council of Europe is not part of the European Union. The Council of Europe included some countries which didn't join the European Union, have never contemplated it. The countries of the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore, but its principal successor state is Russia. Countries as far away as Azerbaijan and Armenia, they are members of the Council of Europe. The European Court of Human Rights was established on this basis. So it's meant to adjudicate cases arising from the European Convention on Human Rights. And confusingly, the European Court of Human Rights is in Strasbourg, France. Now, I know Strasbourg is where the European Parliament sits half the time, but the European Court of Human Rights is not a European Union court. It's a very common misconception. People often get it mixed up with the European Court of Justice, which is in Luxembourg. And the European Court of Justice is the highest court of the European Union, or as we're now encouraged to call it, the Court of Justice of the European Union. But we normally go by the older and snappier title, European Court of Justice and ECJ. So anyway, at its height, methinks there were 43 countries which had a judge at the European Court of Human Rights. But since the illegal and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, Russia and Belarus withdrew their judges from that. And I think they're no longer part of the European Council. And that's really all you hear about the European, Council of Europe. European Council is basically a meeting of the prime ministers of all EU member states. So what's in the European Convention on Human Rights? Well, many of the things you'd like to find, such as the right to life, the right to family life, the right to own property, the right to privacy for your correspondence. That meant letters, particularly in those days, some extent phone calls. Remember, this long before emails existed. It's got the right to fair pay. It doesn't say how much that is. It doesn't actually say minimum wage, the right to form a trades union, the right to strike and so forth, and some sort of social rights about education and healthcare, but it doesn't say how far they go. Now, these terms are open to dispute. The disputability of the right to life, is that compatible with capital punishment? And in 1950, most people would say yes, and almost every country that signed and ratified this still had the death penalty. Is it compatible with abortion? Blatantly, it's not. But these days, obviously, it's countries which have signed and ratified this are executing their children and not their murderers. Now, I'd rather nobody got executed, but there we go. And so it goes on. So the right to freedom of expression, but it does say that you should be protected from unfair attacks on your honor. Impliedly, there's something like libel has got to exist. Freedom from slavery, but it does say compulsory national service. There's military, for example, that's not slavery. Or indeed, obliging people in an emergency to work even without pay is not slavery. Suppose we all had to sandbag because there was a flood or something like that, or we all had to put out a fire. No, that wouldn't be slavery, even if it was not compensated pecuniarily or otherwise, and so on. So talking about some balances. The right to freedom from torture. Now, then the European Union required all member states to transpose the European Convention on Human Rights into domestic law. And they did so in 1998. And the United Kingdom is known as the Human Rights Act. And then it took effect in 2000. It was justiciable. So previously, if you wanted to argue a case arising from your convention rights, as to say rights to be found, the European Convention of Human Rights in the United Kingdom, you'd have to exhaust all domestic remedies first, and only then go to the European Court of Human Rights. But some of the courts within the United Kingdom couldn't hear rights, which explicitly arose from that. But anyway, it's now part of domestic British law. And so courts in Northern Ireland, Scotland, or indeed Wales and England, because Wales and England is a single legal area, they could hear these cases and they could rule on these cases. And they don't need to be referred to the European Court of Human Rights, but they sometimes do go there. Now, people sometimes say the European Court, not saying do they mean the ECJ or the ECHR. Confusingly, ECHR stands for both European Court of Human Rights and European Convention on Human Rights. So anyway, there've been lots of cases against various different countries. Russia's lost more cases than anybody else. On the other hand, you might say that's not surprising because they've got the highest population in Europe. Turkey's lost a lot of cases. Now, the trouble is there's no enforcement. So Russia's orders to release someone from prison, to pay compensation, to allow this, not to do that, to terminate whatever policy, to discontinue something else. And they simply don't do it. There's non-compliance. And they're still got a judge there. And no action is taken against them. Likewise, Turkey, other member states. But the United Kingdom, it adheres to these rulings with scrupulosity. Perhaps the most contentious was really about 1996, the Death on the Rock case, in which three terrorists in Gibraltar, a British overseas territory on the coast of Spain, they were attempting to set off a bomb to kill a lot of people, civilians and perhaps some soldiers, and the SAS, Special Air Service of the British Army, shot them all dead. Now, it turned out that these three terrorists were not armed at the time they were killed. Were they warned? Were they asked to put their hands up? Did they make movements? The soldiers think they're going for a gun or whatever. So it was a disputatious case about this particular matter. Anyway, it was found that they've been deprived of their right to life. They've been unlawfully killed. Had to pay compensations to, who was it, Moray Farrell's family, the estate of Sean Savage. I can't remember the third chap. So there was a lot of rancor about that. The United Kingdom said that we're not allowed to protect civilians. We can't take firm action against terrorists. So we can never kill a terrorist again. We're to be defenseless. And there was a lot of wrangling. Some politicians say we shouldn't pay out. And there was a lot of jubilation and gloating amongst terrorist supporting circles. But anyway, controversially, Her Majesty's government, as it was then, did obey the ruling of the court. I don't think the United Kingdom should withdraw from the European Convention of Human Rights and the court. I don't absolutely rule it out, but I'd be loath to do so. People say, there'd be some sort of reputational damage. Maybe there would, but it's not as though there were no human rights till this took effect in 2000. And what did it do? You know, France was signed up to this in the 1950s and fighting in Algeria, and numerous atrocities were committed there. Now, I don't wish to say anything dishonoring the French army, but that is the plain truth. I know no army is perfect, particularly in counterinsurgency. It tends to lower standards of chivalry. But I'm afraid to say that the conduct of the French army was egregiously bad. There was a few bad eggs and irregular conflicts, but the worst in people. But this was very bad indeed. And these were not fewer isolated incidents. These were very frequent and actually quite large scale. You know, the number of civilians killed and torture, often frank torture, not just slapping someone around, happened on many, many occasions with impunity. So clearly it's worthless. It actually doesn't stop these things happening. And, you know, as I say, it didn't stop all the terrible abuses, the tyranny, the vicious cruelty of the Putin regime. And one thing that would really warm the cockles of my heart is that if the United Kingdom withdrew from this, to see all these leftists seeking asylum in Azerbaijan, aren't you? Because, of course, they've got this as part of the domestic law. They've got a court. So they've got a judge in this court and so on. And do you really think the human rights situation is better in Azerbaijan? Do you really think they have free and fair elections? Do you really think they have, a freedom of expression? It's absolutely preposterous. So they have the political prisoners by the thousand. Likewise, Russia, even before they left 2 years ago, because in Russia, dissent, that is punished by 25 years imprisonment. 25 years belong to a so-called extremist group, the kind of thing the United Kingdom started to do. And another point, and what do people get for murder in Russia? What sentence do they typically get for Russia in murder? 8 years. So question the establishment is attracts a sentence three times longer than murder. Wow. So that just shows you how utterly worthless the European Court of Human Rights is. There's some noble sentiments in the European Convention of Human Rights. The United Kingdom has had some of these rights for decades, others for centuries before this came along. So actually, there has been a diminution in human rights. There's been a degradation of people's civil liberties in the United Kingdom since this was passed and since, you know, it was domesticated in the United Kingdom. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.